Giants, the masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Still plenty of discussion to take place about the NFL playoffs, including a special edition of NFL playoff overreaction or reality. But in the meantime, it feels so long ago, but we are not that far removed from this game. Go ahead and give me cut number 17. We go back to Friday night and people starting to realize this is one of the greatest college football teams I think we've ever seen.
D'Air Hill Jr. is the running back. The quick pass is intercepted. It's going to be run in for an Indiana touchdown. D'Angelo Pons on the first play of the game.
Now, you might, if you saw that play and saw the final score, you might have been like, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But actually what happened in the Friday night other college football national semifinal is Oregon put together an amazingly well-constructed drive right after that, moved down the field to tie the game 7-7. And then over the span of the rest of the first half and the first drive of the second half, Indiana scored 35 unanswered points.
Mm-hmm. It just absolutely destroyed them. Like, that was, it was a dismantling on every level.
Yes.
And in a game where Fernando Mendoza throws 5 touchdowns, but doesn't even surpass 180 passing yards.
Right.
And his running backs don't get over 60 yards. Like, this was a weird, the numbers are just weird.
Right.
The score shouldn't be 56-22, but Kevin, Indiana is a complete team. This is like, this is the reality that they're not just a, oh, it's a good offense and they go out there. They are a complete team, and that defense stands up strong.
Man, and let's talk about that defense. 53% pressure rate. That was what
That's good.
Dante Moore faced in the first half. That is the highest pressure rate that he has faced in any half all season. And clearly that made a difference because by the time you got to the half, it was 35-7. So that defense, it was unbelievable. It got so out of control that Greg McElroy started talking about other things during the game, which I get, like you're apt to do when it's a blowout. And by the time he got to halftime, he was like, oh, you know, starting to talk about the all-time nature of this Indiana team. And then when it got to be, I think when it got to be like 49-15, he started talking about it and comparing it to that 2019 LSU, the Joe Burrow team. And one of the things he said that I thought was really fascinating, maybe there's not as many first overall, or I think he meant first round NFL picks, but the level of dominance across the board along the offensive line at wide receiver, they have so many ways to beat you. That's exactly what Joe Burrow's 2019 team look like. And let's go back to what you mentioned about the defense. After they gave up that touchdown drive on Oregon's second possession, after already scoring a pick six, the next 5 drives for Oregon, they had 36 yards and they turned the ball over twice and got sacked 3 times. And by that point, the game was over. I know you still had to play the second half because of the rules of football, but the game was over.
Yeah, you score 15 points in the second half, and you're still down by 34. You're just like, I don't know what to do. Elijah Surratt is a fun receiver to watch. Like that dude, and by the way, and Charlie Becker is terrifying as well. But like, he's got efficient groups. I'm kind of curious,
yes,
when it comes to Mendoza and the completion percentage and the way that those guys, like, Mike used to say this as a joke all the time when it came to interceptions. He throws a catchable ball.
Yes.
Fernando Mendoza must throw the most catchable ball because of how high that percentage is. Their catch percentage is insane. But the other thing that they kind of, somebody made the comparison, and I don't know that I see it. They compared Fernando Mendoza to Mac Jones. And I remember watching a lot of Mac Jones and feeling like the dude, like, he benefited a lot from a very good Alabama team. And I feel like Fernando Mendoza looks like the guy that's like, he's kind of the one running that thing. And I don't know if you agree. I don't agree with the Mac Jones thing, but I think it was kind of like a, look, they traded up. You know, the Niners wanted the Patriots wanted Mac Jones. The Niners right. wanted to trade up to get him. What are they going to do for Mendoza? And I was like, huh, okay. So I just watching him play is a lot of fun, though.
See, and I would be inclined to kind of differ with that comparison a little bit as well. But I want to talk a little bit more about him and then the general nature of the NCAA right now. So the wild thing is these two college football playoff games for Indiana, he has Mendoza. 5 incompletions total and 8 touchdowns.
Alec, that means he has more touchdowns than he has incompletions.
So
on
good?
Any particular Fernando Mendoza play, what's more likely? He scores a touchdown or throws an incompletion? The answer is he scores a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And no interceptions, by the way.
Now, granted, he was it 16 and 20 passes
yeah,
that he's thrown?
Because the game was over. He's 31 of 36. We were like, oh, that's a hell of a game. And you're like, no, that's 2 games.
Yeah.
And 8 touchdowns. Unbelievable. They have outscored Alabama and Oregon 94 to 25.
All right. Alabama's not the Alabama anymore.
But they're something.
They're still Alabama.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like the big name programs that you would expect that would put up the points to compete against them. Kurt Cignetti's like, no, I'm not gonna let it happen. I'm too motivated. I got these guys motivated. That's why I don't smile and all those things.
And one of the things that you started to see because of that is take a look at how the point spread has moved so far and where it'll end up. So remember, we said the look-ahead line was Indiana would be favored by 6 over Miami. And then you saw just the absolute destruction of Oregon. Here's another thing. Oregon shut out the team they played before this and then gave up 56 points to an Indiana team that quit trying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, like, they were like, hey, this game is over.
Did you feel, listen, I know Texas Tech made a significant push for themselves. Did you feel they were in the same class as Oregon?
Yes,
you
did. I thought they were going to win that game.
You did, really?
I did.
I didn't feel that, but I understand.
But
you're right. In a playoff game, to shut out your opponent is a big deal.
Absolutely. So it was going to be 6 on the look-ahead line. Then Indiana destroys Oregon. Then it goes up to 7.5. Now it's 8.5. And, like, Miami has had an awesome run to the championship. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk probably more about that on Thursday. But I can see why this point spread continues to get bigger and bigger. But then again, if you're Miami, nobody knows better about how a big point spread does not necessarily translate to a win or a loss in the college football championship game than the Miami Hurricanes do. But I'll leave that for another day. My question to go along with all of this. Because, you know, a lot of people have complained about if you think it's a mercenary system or just a business of college sports, and they're like, yeah, I don't like it as much anymore. Has that impacted?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get those texts all the time.
Why?
So 2 weeks ago, we said it's not going back. A few people pushed back, including one person who said you should only be able to transfer once. The NCAA and players and states, they just made an agreement on this less than 2 years ago. It's not going back. But is it impacting anyone's enjoyment of this playoff?
If anything, for me, it's added more intrigue. I'll be honest, Kevin.
I like that.
I've kind of gotten a lot of people got tired of Golden State being in the championship all the time. I've kind of gotten tired of the same schools kind of just being at the top and sitting there because of whatever their program was able to accomplish. You're going to tell me that they weren't paying. They weren't like it's just open now and the money's bigger. Like that's the reality of what college football is now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The fact, though, that I got an Indiana in there and I had a Texas Tech in there and I had a UNT potential opportunity. A&M was as high. The fact that these schools are now rotating and Kevin, it can rotate next year.
Now,
the transfer portal, I don't love. I don't love like because I would like to see a kid go in, take a college over, be the quarterback there for 3 years, 4 years would be awesome. See something like a legacy built like that. It felt like we saw it for a while, but I know that changed. But I would love to be able to see that. Transfer portal gets confusing. I get so confused that I don't care.
Okay.
But when it comes to playoff time, the fact that I have new names and new faces in there, I love.
All right, so you'll understand this complaint then. On Sunday, 2 days, less than 48 hours after both of the college football playoff semifinal games had been completed. Of the 9 top stories on ESPN's college football page, 7 of them were about players returning to their current school, entering the transfer portal, or going on potential visits. 7 of the 9. And this was like within a day and a half of the college football playoff semifinals.
This morning when I woke up, Twitter, my whole timeline was full of portal transfers. And I'm like, I'm not tracking those. I'm sorry. Okay. That's not what I'm going to do. Now, that being said, I think that every single one of these kids should have the freedom to do that.
Okay.
I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying I'm not going to track it. And I'm also going to be kind of confused whenever I see a quarterback that I thought was still at the other school. Now he's at another school across the country. I'll be like, when the hell did this happen? And somebody's going to be like, hey, did you not track the portal? I'll be like, no, that's not something I'm into. I'm not tracking the portal all the time. There's some names I'll keep up with. But yeah, that's where I am with the way the portal works. It doesn't bother me that much because they should be able to. Coaches can leave whenever the hell they want to.
Yes.
You know, like there's all sorts of things that go on back and forth there. So I'm in on that. But it just, I think that the fact that you have new programs, a program like Indiana, which we discussed at length, had no success. None.
Second most losses in the history of NCAA football.
Yeah, this is like their fourth ever playoff game or something like that.
This is their fifth ever bowl game.
God.
They might.
And how many of them
bowl wins? Excuse me. Yeah, they might end the season with 6 bowl wins all time, 3 of them in this year. And 3 in the history of their school before that. That is crazy. All right, so would it change your opinion then? If system's exactly the same, everything else about it's the same, but the semifinals were Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia. Like, would that change your opinion? If it,
I would just be like, okay. You know, I've seen this show.
Yeah,
I wanted something new, but I've seen this show before. Kurt Cignetti's great. Like that, like his personality to go along with it. It's nice to be able to see that coach involved in this too.
Yeah, look, and that's one of the things we mentioned this maybe last week. I want to bring it up again. Cody Campbell, the billionaire oil person that is a booster for Texas Tech, said, "Look, I'm a threat to the status quo," and that's one of the reasons that you saw Texas Tech pop in softball and now really looking strong in football as well, is because some of these new rules and some of these boosters. And he's like, "I'm a threat to the status quo." And I saw somebody texting in about how Alabama's hands are tied because of state rules and state laws when it comes to some of these booster payments. And that's the thing that fascinates me.
Now their hands are tied.
Well, yeah. And it feels a little bit like Major League Baseball or maybe pre-salary cap in other sports when there were like these vague restrictions, because college football and the government have been like, oh, yeah, no, we got these restrictions in place. Really? What are they? Well, it's complicated. If you have to tell me your restrictions are it's complicated, then you don't have real restrictions. And that's one of the things. I wonder if in a few years people will get more frustrated about this. And then let's say that is the case. What are you going to do about it? Roll this back? That feels tough.
Corey, let's remember, coaches aren't kids and kids aren't coaches. There's a difference in what they should be allowed to do. Explain that a little more to me.
Because I won't explain that part to you. I'll explain.
I'm asking them. Yeah. Explain that a little more because I don't agree.
Because I think then wouldn't your argument be if you were one of these players, theoretically, I'm a kid per adults and like your brain maturation and everything. But like then the argument would be, well, I'm old enough for you to want me to pay for school and I'm old enough for you to theoretically send me off to war if that was going to happen. So why am I not old enough to make these other decisions or make money? I think the biggest thing is it comes down to making money. I understand their concerns about these young people. 100% I do. But you are breaking away from a system that for years and years and years, billions, not millions, billions of dollars were made from people who oversaw it but didn't actually do any of the competing. And eventually the players are like, hey, I want a part, maybe a lot.
Yeah, I wonder also, like, I'd love to see a number on how many players were given scholarships or they were there, got hurt, never went to the NFL.
Oh,
never got their big payday
for sure.
While the college programs continued to rake in the money.
And can I give you an example?
For their endowment, of course.
Exactly. Like Harvard. Man, I was shocked to learn how much that was. So the Athletic says that Arch Manning made the most NIL money last year at $6.8 million. Do you know how many college football coaches made more than $6.8 million last season?
None.
35.
Oh, okay.
35.
So he made.
So he would have been the 36th highest paid coach. So my
which is why Nick Saban left.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be talking to kids holding this over them whenever they know they make as much or more than I do.
I totally get that. And maybe people loved it because this was the last bastion where the coach really had control because he's like, I can cut your ass. And eventually you're going to have players that are making more than their coaches are, like in every other sport.
That being said, I mean, and I'm using this, I feel like I heard this weekend. Cignetti has a program that he's built that he could take to the NFL. It's built, it's in the NIL era. It's with the, like, all these things. It's, hey, you come here, you're paid well, you're expected to do these certain things.
Yeah.
Which you can, well, that's the same thing. You don't hold something over them other than playing time, I guess.
Yeah. And from the 682, even coaches can't and don't leave every single year. 100% they could leave every single year if they chose, because that's why the buyouts are in place. That's what keeps many coaches from leaving, is because of the buyouts. And
when did buyouts start? Because I feel like that wasn't always the case. Or maybe the buyouts just weren't as gigantic as they are now.
I think it's that one.
Yeah.
I think it's probably that one. But the other thing is, I'm advocating more for the players while also acknowledging I wish there were more restrictions that were clear and in place. But it feels like the government and college sports weren't ready for this at all, which is shocking because you're not part of that and neither am I. And we both saw this coming.
Yeah, we absolutely did. Wild West, baby.
Yeah, that 3 years ago, we said, you know what you should get involved in when it comes to studying law? NIL programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll be fine. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus, hey, turning 50 sounds cool. Next on The Fan.
Oh.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
He's about to come back.
877-881-1053. Yes, he is. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, Tiger Woods is making turning 50 sound cool.
Ooh, can I ask a less important question of the
day?
Of
course, yes.
Does our audience want us to start ramping up baseball talk again? Because we dabbled in it some next week. We've got some more today and tomorrow. I'm just curious. Back to you, Alec.
My guess is yes.
Okay.
But let us
be in on that, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because especially once we get past wild card weekend, it's like, oh, man. It's creeping up. I saw the Rangers on Instagram did one of those sneaky little posts where it's like, it was a picture of Jacob DeGrom, and it was like, the caption said, look at his hat. And then you look at his hat, it says, look at the left corner. Then it says, look at the right corner. Then it says, look at his shoe. And then it says, go to the comment section and look at the pinned comment. And it says, pitchers and catchers report in X amount of days.
Yeah.
It's like, we're getting close.
I like it.
Getting close, and you guys are going to be out there. Look at that. But we do have the question of the day where we are going to go to the national day calendar, as we always do, as I always do, right on the wake up. And there is some great days going on today. Some great.
There's only one day. Going on today.
I know you're frequently sandwiching during this segment, but one of the things that Alec has brought to our world is that there are many a different day transpiring within the one day itself.
That's right.
It's weird, though.
The rules.
Multiple things can be true at once, Majors, and that's why I'm going to read all of these for you. It is Coming of Age Day.
Mm.
It is also National Fourth Graders Day.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a masterpiece theater. What movie made you come of age? That is for a different day.
I like that.
Stop it.
Remote control. I think that's what it was called.
Not Weird Sign?
No. Hey, what was the best grade? Because I loved fourth grade. Ooh. My teacher was awesome. I had the one, I got sent from a different class, the one where I got in the fight. No, it was fifth grade. But I did get moved to another class. Miss Williams was amazing.
Now, fourth grade was the worst grade because that's when I moved to my new school and they gave me a test when I got there. And I didn't know the test was because they had tiered classes and it would determine which classes I would be in. And I really D'd around with the test. And out of six English classes, I got put in the fifth one, which was next to the bottom. And I told my mom I thought I was in the wrong English class. And so she brought it up to the school and they said, oh, no, we do a test to determine that. And then she told me that. And it was a tough spot I was in. I was like, whoa. I don't feel like you're going to be able to get out of this one. I go, so here's the deal. And I had to tell her. And then also that same year, our house got robbed and my juice box exploded in my backpack and ruined a bunch of my books. Fourth grade sucked.
Oh, man. I'm sorry for you.
Sorry to dump all of that on you guys.
I would double it up and say eighth grade. That was probably the best for me.
Ooh.
I guess my friend did take his own life that year. So.
What the hell?
Okay, I'm going to pivot before this gets any darker.
But I liked the class, you know?
It's the darkest question of the day for Alec.
Yeah. It's Work Harder Day. It's also Stick to Your New Year's Resolution Day.
Get
so
it?
Stick to it.
Stay with it.
Stay with it, man.
And if you have trouble, that's what Sozo's for.
That's right. It's National Pharmacist Day. Be nice to your pharmacist.
Yeah.
Don't be jerks when your insurance isn't cooperating.
Too many people are rude. Now, it does feel like they don't know what they're doing, but that's probably more the insurance company's fault than anything else
because
the ridiculous stuff they put us through.
That's a great point. That person is just in front of you.
You're just, they're the one that's like, I don't.
So you take out all healthcare issues on Bob the pharmacist. He's trying to help you out.
Never seen this card before? Come on.
Let's see. It is also for the gym rats out there, National Kettlebell Day, I guess.
You hate kettlebells, huh?
No, I love them. I don't know why they have their own day.
Oh, dude.
They're not that special.
Dude, do you hear all the names of days you're throwing out there?
That's valid. But it is also, I have to mention this one, it is National Kiss a Ginger Day.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
National Kiss a Ginger.
Do
no,
we need to
put
both
those
leave?
Headphones back on.
I'll
I am
wait
locking
till the next
the door.
Segment.
I am locking the door.
There's not a lock on that door.
I'm barricading the door. I'm going to take the
left.
Microphone with me.
I've never actually seen Kevin get up during
like
the middle
this.
Of a segment. Walk
I really.
Away from
he
the
is
microphone.
Actually walking in here.
I've seen him.
Nope. I don't want anything.
The cameras
nope.
are on. You
I think
already
I'm
left. You're already in there. Do
nope.
it. Don't be scared.
He can't hear you because my mic's on. Ha. Anyways. Yeah. That did not happen, thank God.
You know, here's the thing. Randy Galloway used to have wimp-free radio. That was about as wimpy as I've ever seen, Kevin. You got up and went in there, and you didn't kiss that man.
I disagree. Consent is very important. I did not have it, and I do not believe days of the week or of the year will hold up in a court of law. I want to make that clear. I don't think you can be like, oh, I kissed Emma Stone because it was Kissing Ginger Day. That judge is sending you to jail.
She's blonde, right. So.
What?
What?
I think she's really blonde.
Oh, I thought you said she was blonde.
I know, I heard blonde.
Sorry.
What? Okay, anyways, back to the point. It's National Clean Your Desk Day. And what is the one thing that you are awful at keeping maintained and clean? 877-881-1053. Because for me, it's my desk. I let mail pile up way too much. I have old credit cards that need to be shredded. You know, like stuff like that. It just sits
mail?
There.
Mail?
Yes. I get mail.
It's weird. It's weird, though, how you, like, I don't know, in my mind, I just saw these guys stacking up on his desk. That's all I saw was mail.
Postage, Corey.
Thank you.
He sure was building up for Kiss of Ginger Day, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. Anyways, yes, I have old, like, documents and stuff. I have old, like, notes from school.
Hold up. What kind of documents?
I mean, I keep, like, W-2s and, like, you know, tax documents and stuff like that just in case, you know, TurboTax calls me and says, hey, you're getting audited or something.
How long should you keep documents?
5 years. Well, some will say 7, but I think 5 years is smart.
Huh.
Sorry, that's how long I keep my tax returns because of that.
See?
So it's kind of similar. I have like a little, like a knick-knack shelf right next to my bed that has like fun.
For the paddywhack?
Yes. No, stop right there.
Mm.
But the thing is, I hate to dust. And the thing about it, if you move one of the knickknacks, you know where it goes because of the outline of no dust.
Dude, come on.
So if you dust it, then it's not going to go back in the exact spot. And because of the nature of my OCD, I need everything to be like in the exact spot I had it. And so I have a lot of trouble with that. I even take pictures to try to get the exact approximation back. But I do not dust because of that.
Why don't you just mark it with like a marker? Or a pencil or something.
Because the shelf is black?
Get a white pencil.
Okay, but then won't there be all these white marks? I can't handle that.
Underneath the thing,
I can't handle that. I know they're there.
You just give it like a little arrow, and that's the front of it.
You know what, Corey? I don't think you understand me at all. If I know it's there and I can't see it, I still know it's there.
That's a good point. That's a good point, man. I'm going to have to say the organizer that I have on my dresser. I have one of those. It's like it's a box and it's got some cubbies on the top of it, and then it's got a little drawer.
Okay.
Where I keep, you know, fancy checks and stuff that are all deposited. So don't try and steal them, guys.
Oh, dang it.
But it's like the reason I have a problem is because whatever's around in our room, Adrian will just put it in mine like it's mine. Like, the kids will leave Legos in there, and I'll be like, whose Legos are these? And everybody's like, nobody knows because they don't, what pieces are they? And so she'll just put them in there. Or, like, just whatever it is, some little crown of Lucy. So I have it nice and organized. My guitar picks, some challenge coins that we've gotten along the way, a really cool rock that my son painted as a Ninja Turtle. I got all those things in there, but all of a sudden I'll look up and now I got change. I'm like, I don't carry change. Why is it in that? I never even use the change. So I just take it and throw it out in the yard.
What? What? That's money.
Pennies are not money anymore, Kevin.
Yes, they are.
We got rid of the penny.
But it's still money.
Do you think that pennies are going to be worth more because now they're done?
No,
they're obsolete?
There's like billions of them.
But what do we do with the pennies?
I actually don't know.
It's a great question, Majors.
I think somebody invested in the penny market.
That's your question of the day.
Thank you.
Yeah, big penny out there. 877-881-1053, something you are awful at keeping clean and organized from the 817. I am bad at keeping the garage clean. Amen to that.
Yes.
From the 832, the wife's car, especially the front seat, the car in general. I am religious about keeping clean.
It's really tough.
How many coffee mugs does she have or drink mugs?
At any given time, she usually has at least three drink cups in her. And I'm like, you don't even have a third cup holder. And she's like, this one's sealed or I don't know, whatever. It's a ridiculous amount. She doesn't need to be that hydrated.
Mm-mm.
But also, it is tough to keep your car clean when you have a three-year-old. Even if he's a good kid, he just doesn't. Sometimes he just drops things or throws things. And you're like, come on, bro.
Don't let him have those things.
That's rude.
You make him ride in the car looking out the window. And that's it. You don't get any food.
I hear you.
You don't get any drink.
Oh. You know this as a parent, though. You reach that point when you have all your high-minded ideals, but then you're like, I need you to just be quiet and go with the flow, and I will do what it takes.
Duct tape.
No,
what?
I meant like giving him a treat.
Zip ties. From the 812, my home office has become a catch-all room. Appreciate the interaction there. 877-881-1053-4. National Clean Up Your Desk Day. But Tiger Woods has officially made turning 50 rather sound pretty cool. So we mentioned this, I want to say it was the final week of December. I think December 30th. Yes, December 30th was Tiger Woods' 50th birthday. But the real fun is going to be in 2 days on January 14th when he is set to hold an exclusive celebrity-packed event at the Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida. And there is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 very important people at this party. But it's kind of cool because he's also going to be launching a new fundraising campaign for the TGR Foundation. So it's going to be raising money for charity as well.
Okay, I like that.
This is going to be a lot more than a birthday party and a lot more than an event. It's not going to quite live up to Michael Rubin's iconic white party that he does every year that, you know, might have weird things going on.
And I'm sorry, did you say it was at his house, at a Waffle House? Where is it at?
This is at the Breakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But
that's different than the Waffle House.
Yeah. Yes. The guest list includes people like Justin Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Strahan, Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank, and many, many more celebrities. But the menu might be the coolest thing. The menu is going to be the champions dinners from each of Woods' five Masters victories, which includes steak and chicken fajitas, stuffed jalapenos, sushi, porterhouse steaks, crab cakes, even cheeseburgers. So how could you go wrong with that? And then they will close out the night with a live performance from John Bon Jovi, which is the perfect reminder that Tiger is 50 years old now.
Lovely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. More from the playoffs, plus the All-Pros, and a local alum becomes an offensive coordinator. Next on The Fan.
McCaffrey is beside Brock in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Purdy wants to throw. Purdy pressured. Purdy steps up. Purdy throws. Caught! Touchdown, McCaffrey! Touchdown! 49ers back in front!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Powered by Men's Tea Clinic, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and sip it.
By the way, Corey, I hope you allow this one to give a quick shout-out to our Tolo Super Monster, who is currently in the Twitch. He is the one who dominated not one, but then eventually two Super Monster Burritos at Freebirds. He also finished the Pluckers Fire in the Hole 15 Wings in 15 Minutes Challenge in 4.5 minutes.
Whew.
He is a dominant eater.
I had 6 wings on Saturday night.
Okay, thank you for sharing.
Nice.
All right.
Thank you.
We could talk some more playoffs here, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff happening in the NFL as well. The 49ers do not expect Fred Warner back for their divisional round game, which will be against Seattle. Lots of interviews going down. Cliff Kingsbury is interviewing with the Ravens today. Mike McDaniel is set to interview with the Falcons and the Ravens, and the Ravens have requested interviews with Jesse Minter, and I would keep an eye out on that one. And then Anthony Weaver as well. So a lot of moving and a shaking potentially on the coach front. Then back to playoff injuries. Gabe Davis is going to get an MRI, but the thought is that he will be unavailable for the rest of the playoffs. And Christian Gonzalez is in concussion protocol for the Patriots.
We have some banged up teams.
Yes.
And teams that have lost like significant important defensive players, receivers, like these are some banged up teams that are going a little bit further. It's kind of like I was talking about Miami. Miami, I'm a little, not the Dolphins, but right. The University of Miami.
Right.
I'm concerned going forward for them because of how banged up they looked against Ole Miss. But there's a lot of them right now that are taking some injuries on that they don't need them for sure. We were talking about the Niners earlier.
Yes.
All season long, it's been like this. They're kind of like, oh, we're used to it.
Now, over the weekend, the NFL All-Pro team came out. It is headlined by Matthew Stafford. Now, usually, whoever is the first team quarterback is most likely to be your MVP. But we saw that not be the case, I believe, last year with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And maybe that won't be the case again this year. But Matthew Stafford wins the vote from the AP and a lot of the same carryover voters for MVP.
This is first ever.
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Because all the other great quarterbacks that were in front of him.
Yeah, quarterback in particular is tough.
Kind of tough to crack
all
through.
All pro. Yeah.
But nice for him, man. Like, really nice.
There were no Dallas Cowboys who were first team all pro. They did have 3 second team all pro, Kevontae Turpin, Brandon Aubrey, and George Pickens. And we will talk later in the show, Wanker of the Weekend, about George Pickens not understanding how being an all pro works. Now, let's go.
You have to act different after you're an all pro?
No, you have to play better or have more stats. And he seems to think there's some conspiracy against him for some reason. The Falcons did, in fact, hire Matt Ryan as the team's president of football.
I saw him almost cry on CBS
because
he was like, all the things that have happened with this team. It's a nice team.
So you're making fun of him?
That was pretty cool.
Okay.
Emotions.
All right. So this is a new role that they've added to the organization. And he will lead the searches for both head coach and GM and will have oversight over whoever is hired. So you know how, like, realistically, Chris Young is the GM of the Rangers, but they changed the title structure, and the assistant GM is now the GM, and the real GM is the president of baseball operations. It kind of feels like the same thing is happening here. The GM is Matt Ryan, who will be called the president of football, and then the fake GM will be named the GM.
I have a funny political joke I wanted to ask, but I don't want to offend anybody. So.
Okay.
That being said, I like Matt Ryan, near Super Bowl champion. If you talk to the Cowboys front office, he probably should have won that one.
Right.
But
he should have.
You know. And I think he carries himself in a manner like that's respectable for that position. I think that's going to be nice for them. I think he's good at what he does. I think he's going to have a good impact on that organization.
Now, we talked about Rico Dowdle and the lack of a Carolina running game in the playoffs earlier.
Can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Sticking with the Matt Ryan thing.
Sure.
Former player, he comes in. Do you think that he I never really had a voice as the quarterback before, and I'm going to make sure that people hear my voice now?
Maybe. Or it's possible, don't you think, from talking with some people that he had a lot of personnel thoughts
back in the day,
but just not necessarily the position to see them through.
Yeah, and I wonder how that goes now that he has that freedom. He'll have that freedom from Arthur Blank.
And it feels much like John Elway in the past. You'll get some extra leeway.
Well, he got the extra leeway because of those championships.
Yeah, for sure. Getting Peyton Manning there definitely helped.
Losing the Super Bowl.
Rico Dowdle sounds like he does not want to be in Carolina anymore. He had a robust 9 yards on 5 carries in Saturday's loss to the Rams, and he was asked about free agency and the fact that his game gets better the more carries he gets, and he goes, that's definitely a factor. There's options for me. I just want to be a guy who can go out there and get the bulk of the carries. Well, Hubbard is signed through 2028, and then Jonathan Brooks is still there, even though he has had just the worst luck with his ACL injuries, and they have Trevor Etienne. It feels like this is not where he's going to stay.
He's right. I mean, with what he did this year, he has options.
Yes.
Hell, with what he did with the Cowboys, I know the options weren't as wide open, but he has options, and he can go take advantage of those, and he should go take advantage of them. Right now is probably the best time for him to strike on something like that.
Now, we say follow the trends, and this is tricky for me because I do think the Texans are going to win tonight, but, Alec, consider this. The Texans in their franchise history are 0-6 on the road. In the playoffs. Further consider this, CJ Stroud is 0-3 in the weather in games in which it is less than 35 degrees outside. And there is currently snow on the ground in Pittsburgh. And the AccuWeather is set at 34 degrees for this evening. So I know it's close. But technically, under 35 degrees when the game kicks off. Do these factoids impact your thoughts about who will win the game this evening?
CJ Stroud, a legacy game incoming.
Oh!
I don't believe that. No, I do think it's going to be an ugly football game. And I saw somebody quote tweeted the NFL video that they tweeted out for the Bears game when it was snowing pregame. And they're like, this is what dome stadiums are going to take away from us. Yeah, they're taking away bad football. God, stop being so nostalgic. I want good football.
Of all the games that you would not want to play in this weather, maybe this is the one. Or maybe this is the one you do want played in this weather. And you're like, nah, this is what it's going
to
look like either way.
He needs to push for a 2 p.m. kick.
Yeah, okay.
It's 35.
Okay, so.
And then 36 up until about 6 p.m. So you you can wrap that game up without it being under.
Feels tough to make that change now.
I've seen it happen.
Okay, that's true. Now, speaking of changes, the Washington Commanders, they have promoted their assistant quarterback coach, David Blau to offensive coordinator. That is Carrollton Creekview High School alum right there, who is now the offensive coordinator of the Commanders. And we've had multiple people texting in that he is also a Tolo. Now, I was looking up because I remember, even though Creekview was not our primary beat, he was playing there in our cluster of papers when we were at the paper. And I thought, it's weird that, like, hey, you're about to graduate and go play in college. In 11 years, you'll be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. And you'd be like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty cool. I like that he's a Tolo.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm just going to assume that we're his favorite show.
He's only 30.
Is that a good thing, though? He's a Commander's coach.
Mm.
And he loves this show, probably. Is that a positive thing? We want all fan bases to love our show.
I think he's going to be so good.
For syndication purposes.
So fast, while the defense is still terrible, that he'll start getting head coaching offers.
And then he'll be gone.
And then he can move to a less offensive franchise.
The Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jaguars and Panthers offend no one.
Indianapolis.
That feels like another team that doesn't really offend people.
Nobody cares.
We're the can't.
Seattle.
Yes.
Seattle.
Okay. Seattle!
No, people don't even know they exist.
Man, I have an overreaction reality question that is tailored just for you coming up.
All right.
Coming up next, though, people want more baseball, short and long term. Let's throw some out for them. If the Rangers really are done procuring position players, how do fans feel about this group? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.